Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, this for my dogs from the east to the west side. Rocket brown and orange with me, baby. Let's ride. Represent the land. Let them know. Tell them, here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, a game week episode as we look ahead to the week one matchup. Just a few days away, Dustin against the Dallas Cowboys at 4:25 Eastern. Really looking forward to that. And we're going to talk about it today. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack. Join with me, as always, out in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. We've got Dustin. Dustin, how you living?
Other than being under the weather, I mean, of all weeks, the last couple of days, I'm actually finally feeling a little better today. Thank goodness. But boy, I got to tell you, Allie, when I came to work on Monday, it was like you could have flipped the switch in this town. It was like you could just tell it was football week. People's attitudes changed. America's team, joking, is coming to town on Sunday. And it's going to be a big deal. You know, the Browns don't always get that marquee afternoon game. The nation's going to be watching this game, right? So this will be where 97% of America will be watching this Sunday.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, you know, that guy, he's going to be in town, you know, doing his first regular season broadcast. So yeah, the Browns got to get their ass together and they got to put this together. This is a big game for the Browns. And I think they got to start out fast in this game. So that's just my
this is a really big game and a huge test to everything that's been put together this offseason. We're gonna talk about the matchup here upcoming. We've got some news to share. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But before we kick it off, we actually have a couple of new sponsors that we're excited to share with you tonight. I want to kick it off, Dustin, with our newest friend, Believe Land Power Washing and also Landscaping. I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, guys, if you need landscaping or you need any power washing done for your homes, check them out, Believe Land at, you know, believeland.com. Go check them out, believelandlandscaping.com. We're excited to partner with them. We actually are going to be doing a giveaway, by the way, guys, a giveaway for a free house washing. Can you believe that? A free house, a power wash. Who wouldn't want their home washed? About a $500 value. That's pretty exciting. That we're going to be giving that away. So look for that. We're excited to partner with those guys this upcoming football season. By the way, it's never too early to look at your landscaping jobs for next year or some power washing and get that stuff cleaned up, that, you know, the cobwebs and all that stuff that gets all over your house, the gutters, all those wonderful things. Allie, I'm assuming your house probably at some point is going to need a power washing in the windows and stuff like that. You just moved into a house. So, we're excited to partner with those guys.
Yes. And as always, also a shout out to our friends over at Stadium Mustard. If you don't have Stadium Mustard in your kitchen this season, you're doing it wrong. The iconic brand, the iconic taste, beloved from ballparks to backyards and everywhere in between. Stadium Mustard is a smooth brown mustard rich in both taste and tradition. By the way, it's loved by millions. So be sure to head on over to stadiummustard.com to shop now. Let's get to some Browns news and updates. Let's kick it off. Really, we haven't talked about Jim Donovan stepping away from the booth, since our last show. That's obviously when that came out. Sending our best wishes to Jim as he continues to battle through cancer. So we're just sending all of our thoughts and prayers to him, as we always do. But in his place, it will be Andrew Siciliano in the booth with Nathan Zagura.
Yeah, and I think we all got a little taste of that last year.
Yeah.
When he did the San Francisco 49ers game and was very enthusiastic about the Niners missing that field goal, gave him a little pre-planning there with that. But interesting, his dad was a huge Browns fan. He didn't actually grow up in Ohio, but his dad raised him to love the Cleveland Browns. He grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. He feels very humbled to be able to take over this. Big shoes to fill, as he said with his comment. And he said, you know, I wish it could come under different circumstances that he becomes the play-by-play guy for the Cleveland Browns along Nathan Zagura, but he does have big shoes to fill. And like I said, our prayers are out there for Jim Donovan that he can beat this thing. I know this has been a battle for him, and Jim was the best in the business when it came to doing that. But it'll be interesting to hear Andrew's play-by-play this Sunday at the 4:25 kick Eastern. So I think he's looking forward to it. I think Nathan and him will mesh well. Obviously, they've been in the booth together already, but it'll be interesting to see how this goes going forward.
It's nice to know that there's already chemistry there. You know you're going to get a good product, especially with Nathan Zagura involved. You're going to get the enthusiasm with Andrew. You know, he's going to be a little bit more balanced. You know, he's got a nice, smooth, velvety voice. So it's going to be a nice listen. It's a good product out there. But also, on the TV side of things, I am excited to see how Tom Brady does in his newest venture, and that is behind the camera, behind a mic.
Yeah, I got to say, this is going to be interesting. I mean, he's polished, right? I mean, we've seen him do podcasts. We've seen him do interviews. I think it's going to come very natural to him because what do we know about Tom Brady, right? He's always so prepared in what he does, right? I talked to a former player that was talking about, oh, we're out here drinking the night before. Well, you know what Tom Brady's doing? He's in there studying until 1 a.m. to kick your ass tomorrow on Sunday. So, like, you know, he's going to be prepared in the booth or whatever he does. So I think he's going to come well-prepared. I think he's going to do great in the booth, and I'm excited to hear him. Now, Unfortunately, I'll have to watch that later because I will actually be at stadium. I'll be sitting there screaming. I'll definitely won't have a voice after that Sunday. So
no, you will not.
But no, it'll be exciting to just see his take on the game. And, you know, it'll be interesting. It's an NFC versus an AFC team. So it'll be some interesting things for him to look at. Because again, two teams that are that have been projected to go to the playoffs this year, Browns and the Cowboys. So two teams in their own right that should play very well this year. So Browns favored by 2.5. You know, that's basically a field goal edge for the Browns. But it's going to be interesting. And I know we're going to talk about some of the matchups and why this is going to be a unique game in a lot of ways. But
yeah. Moving on a little bit here to some Browns roster updates. Today, the Cleveland Browns waived David Bell. You know, I thought that was likely to happen, but I thought it was going to happen maybe a week or two ago. I was surprised to see it happen today. Your thoughts on this? I know that you talked before we even went on, like, you know, this opens up the door for Thrash. And yes, it most certainly does. But I was just shocked really at the timing more so than the actual waiving of the player.
Yeah, I mean, does it tell us that they're trying to do a little bit of maneuvering in the cornerback room? You know, or are they looking to make some moves somewhere else to bring a guy on? I don't know. Andrew Berry probably, you know, gets 4 hours of sleep a night, right? He's always trying to figure out how to better the roster and make it a better team. Now, here's the thing. David Bell was good at catching the ball. He just couldn't get separation, right? So he couldn't get that kind of separation. He could catch the ball, but he just couldn't separate. And to your point, Allie, before we came on, for once, we can talk about there being depth in the wide receiver room, and you can actually, unfortunately or fortunately, you know, have a guy, you know, leave that room and still feel pretty good about what you have in that room. So it'll be interesting to see over the next 24, 48 hours, does he clear waivers? Does he make the practice? I mean, there's a couple of things that are going to happen in the next 48 hours, but you're right. It's something you would have thought would have happened a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago, something like that.
Sure.
3 days before kickoff, it makes me think there was a reason Barry was looking at something, you know, to make a move, and he had to, there had to be a casualty, unfortunately. And I think that's probably what we're going to see in the next couple of days of why behind this.
Yeah. I think there's probably several reasons behind why they waived this player. And one of them being, obviously, he wasn't producing. He wasn't the player that you thought that he was going to be coming out of the draft. And I know Kevin Stefanski was incredibly high on David Bell, incredibly high, coming into, you know, the early part of, was it two seasons ago, a season ago, I don't remember. But nonetheless, you know, you kind of thought that David Bell at the time was going to be the next Jarvis Landry. And we said on this podcast, no, he's not going to be, because at that time you get rid of Jarvis. You're like, oh, you get David Bell. It's the same thing. Wrong. It's not. It's very, very different. So he never lived up to the expectation of, you know, the caliber of player that I think we all thought he was going to be coming out of that draft. Additionally, I think that there are some roster things that have to happen. You know, we're going to talk to David here in just a moment about Jedrick Wills and his availability to go. You know, do they bring in a swing tackle Do they elevate somebody? Maybe. Maybe that's all this was just a little manipulation to bring in another player for added depth elsewhere. You know, maybe they still like the player, David Bell, and I'm sure that they do to a certain extent. And I'm sure if he does clear waivers, they'd like to have him back on the practice squad, given that he knows the scheme and he's got some chemistry with these players. But at the end of the day, you had a kind of a richness at their wide receiver position, which, man, it hasn't felt that way in quite some time, that they've had some depth there, and they do this year. So you can afford to, you know, add that depth elsewhere. So I think that's really what this is. Again, I'm just surprised at the timing. It kind of leads me to believe that it has to be somewhat injury related, or they're less certain that somebody is going to be available on Sunday, and they're looking to make a move to bring somebody else up. So
I agree with that. I will tell you a roster move that I'm not happy about because of the circumstances of what happened was a Huntley being released and immediately being signed to the Ravens practice squad.
Yes. Don't love that at all.
Hello. That's just like, oh, by the way, you've been our guy on offense, you know, running plays for the last 2 months. Oh, hang on. Go back to your old team. Yeah. Didn't like that. But hey, you know, I think a lot is made of that, but you know, you're always ever changing the offense too. So again, I don't know how much of a difference that will make, but I didn't like it. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah. And obviously some very big news. The Browns made the announcement the other day about the changing of the name of the stadium. It is no longer Cleveland Browns Stadium, and it is now Huntington Field. What are your thoughts there?
Well, first and foremost, the reason it's Field, by the way, because there actually is a stadium where the Minnesota Gophers play, and that is actually Huntington Stadium. So they actually had to name it Field, even though technically it is a stadium, so they had to go with Huntington Field. Do you want me to take the brown and orange glasses off? I think it was a down payment on Brook Park. I think that's what that was. That was a down payment on Brook Park because it's a 20-year deal. And that name follows, clearly it's going to follow the new stadium, you know, obviously, or a completely renovated one. But I think it was a down payment on Brook Park to help the funding of the new facility, because that's a long-term deal. I mean, 20 years, I mean, that's a long time. I mean, I've seen stadium deals 10 years, five, but 20, that's a lot of money. And that's a big investment in the Cleveland Browns. And I think that's going to help them build their dome, plain and simple.
I agree. I think that is very obviously what the situation was. I mean, when you put a 20-year sticker on it, yeah, that is a pretty big investment, and tells me that they understand the fruits that will come from, you know, a dome or a larger, more technologically advanced stadium in the near-ish future. So, yep, I see it. I agree with it. I think that's probably what it is also. Okay, let's turn it over to David. We've got some injury things to talk about. Before we do so, a quick word from our friends over at Lorello Vineyards. If I can find the video, there it is.
Here we go, Brownies, here we go. Woof, woof, woof.
Hello, welcome to Lorello Vineyards, Larry and Kim Lorello. We have a beautiful Here We Go Brownies wine that we would like to offer to you this season as we did last season. We have several other award-winning wines, lovely entertainment and events coming this summer. So come and see us. Wine a bit. You'll feel better.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you at the Muni lot this fall. Go Browns.
Let's bring him on. The man, the myth, the legend, Dr. David Ullery to the program, orthopedic surgeon. How's it going?
Wonderful. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. David, great to see you. How you been?
Really good. Really good. I'm so excited to have football back on the TV tonight. NFL, obviously we had college football last weekend, but I'm ready to go. I am ready for this season.
And we kind of start with a bang here. You know, you get the Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore, high scoring. I mean, two teams that have some Super Bowl aspirations. It's going to be a good game. I'm excited.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Let's start talking about the Cleveland Browns. I want to kick it off. Obviously, I want to go through the injury report coming out of practice. Now, I just want to look ahead to the week one matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. But I think one of the biggest question marks right now, and Dustin and I already talked about it a little bit, was Jedrick Wills. Still unsure about what his status is going to be. And it seems to be that Kevin Stefanski is going to wait kind of until the last minute to name the starter or name the game plan, whether that's going to be a rotation, whether... I don't know. I'm very curious to see how this plays out because you've got some options. You've got Jack Conklin. You've got DeJuan Jones. But you also have, you know, James Hudson that's been thrust in there before. So I don't know. I'm nervous to see what happens on game day. But I want to talk about Jedrick Wills specifically and his injury and what you think could potentially happen.
Yeah. So as you alluded to, he kind of sat idle in practice today, did not practice today, and kind of remains to be seen whether he's even going to be able to play or if they're going to allow him to play versus the Cowboys on Sunday. I don't know. There's a quote saying, "I'm not starting this week," from him and some other sources as well. And so it sounds like up to this point, they're playing it pretty conservatively in terms of how they're going to approach Jed and his ability to return to full playing capability. We'll see ultimately if he practices at all tomorrow, but my anticipation is that he will not. And at the end of the day, we know based on last year that injuries are a problem, and long-term success and long-term health is a little bit more important than just kind of a short-term start here, even if it's the first game of the year. And so I would not be surprised if he is held out from the game on Sunday. And we end up seeing a little mixing around of the line, like you alluded to. Certainly, like you said, James Hudson is there, kind of in the backup spot at left tackle. But I saw a little piece earlier today talking to Jack about his opportunity and what it's going to look like. And despite him not playing left tackle, he's had a little bit more time in the classroom, so to speak, to learn the playbook and shift over. And it seems like he is willing to embrace that with open arms if the opportunity presents itself. And then I would imagine DeJuan will move up into that starting spot at right tackle. So that's my gut. My thinking is that Jack's going to be at left, DeJuan at right when we see the Browns take the field for the first time on Sunday. But I don't know. It's hard to know for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're onto something there because at the end of the day, Jedrick hasn't practiced at all, right, at the end of the day. So he doesn't even have any live reps in practice. So I think it would be crazy to throw him out there, against that defensive line for the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's just not a smart move. He could easily re-injure something, especially if he's not, game ready from a physical standpoint, from a stamina standpoint in a game. But you're right. Conklin, a journeyman guy, right? Been in the league a long time. Nothing really surprises him. He understands that front. And he can move over. And then DeJuan Jones kind of settles in where he's kind of been so good for so long last year. And you kind of just keep everything kind of in sync. And then you just, week to week, kind of figure out what you're going to do with the left tackle position, right? I mean, that's kind of a play it as it goes. But, yeah, I think Conklin makes a lot of sense just from his leadership and veteran leadership, period, in that situation.
The whole thing freaks me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, the whole thing freaks me out. I hate going into this season with question marks on the line. For a Cleveland Browns offensive line, for the past few years, it has been, top five in the National Football League. To go into this season with your highest, aspirations for a deep playoff run and a Super Bowl run, and going into week one, you've got a lot of question marks. You've got a lot. And when we're saying that we're going to move, an all-pro tackle over to the left side for the first time in his lengthy NFL career, yeah, I think he can do it, and I'm sure he can do it well, but it makes me nervous, especially a guy like Jack who has been injury just prone. I mean, not to his fault, there's a lot of freak stuff, but like his battled through a ton of injuries. It does make me nervous. And so much of this season, all of this season, rides on who Deshaun Watson can be. Can he be the player that we traded for, the expectations that we traded for? And yes, he can be all of that and more, but if the offensive line's not good, it doesn't even matter. We've seen a good quarterback with a bad offensive line, and it just it doesn't translate to much. And even Stump Mitchell said, you know, you can have the best running back in the world, but if the offensive line isn't like this, goodness, it's not really going to be much of a fun offense. It freaks me out a little bit. I believe in these guys. I really do. I think that we've got a lot of talent and the right guys for the job. But, man, just some of the question marks do freak me out a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got Micah Parsons on one side, right?
That's not great.
And then you got the former Boise State guy, DeMarcus Lawrence, on the other side, you know. So you got two good guys coming off at the quarterback position and kind of freelance. You don't want to see that in a football game because the last thing you want is having Deshaun Watson run around all day scrambling just to get a first down or, you know, throwing it away, basically, right? Yeah. So he doesn't get sacked. So, it's going to be – I think it's going to come down to. I think the Browns lost one game at home last year with five different starting quarterbacks. I think the crowd is really going to have to get into this game, and they're going to have to be a deciding factor in this football game. And I think the defense is going to have to feed the defense will have to feed off the crowd. And I think that's where a turnover or something's going to happen in this game because of the crowd and stuff like that, because we are going to need the offense to kind of settle in this game and kind of find themselves, right? I'm not worried about the defense in this game. I think they're going to come with their hair on fire. They're ready to go. Schwartz will have them ready to rock and roll and have that place going. But the offense kind of has to settle in and figure themselves out in this game. And that starts with the offensive line, the running game, and all that. So
I agree. David, what else we got? What else we got on the injury front?
Yeah, so, we all know, obviously, Nick Chubb will not be playing. And that's been a thing for a while. But when we're looking at kind of, you know, the current active roster, just kind of running through it, Bell was listed on it, but we know that's not even a consideration anymore. We already kind of touched on Conklin. A couple others just to consider that hopefully don't really play out. And I mean, they at least are practicing, but it's limited. So on the defensive side of the ball, we have Jordan Hicks, who was limited in practice with a calf injury. And we know that those are soft tissue injuries that can kind of linger, but also, you know, most times players can play through those. And so I wouldn't expect to be any issues with that. Mo Hurst with a hamstring. Again, I think this is just one of those sort of wear and tear things that happens during practice. Judy listed to have a knee injury, but he's been full in practice the last 2 days, so we should see him going full go. Who else? Clinton Jefferson has an Achilles injury listed. So again, limited in practice, but probably just some irritation, some inflammation, tendonitis. And so should be good to go. JOK, hand injury, practiced full. Delvin Tomlinson with a knee injury was limited in practice, which, you know, may have some significance, but again, he's at least practicing. Who else do we have? We have Nathaniel Watson, limited in practice with a quad injury. And then our last one here is, Alex Wright. He was a full participant. Mm-hmm. So really the big one we already touched on is Jedrick Wills. Everyone else was at least a limited to full participant. And so majority of those guys we should see playing. These are just things that they kind of probably sustained during camp, a little banged up, but they are recovering from and are going to be able to play through. So at least for now, on the injury front, it isn't terrible. But when you kind of flip the ball over and look at the Cowboys, they are quite a healthy team currently. Yeah. With their injury report at the moment, everyone was a full participant that's listed on the injury report except for their fourth tight end, John Stevens. So, I mean, whoop-de-doo. But otherwise, the guys listed include their linebacker, Damone Clark, defensive end, cornerback, tackle, but again, all these guys are full participants, so they're all going to play. I mean, the really the biggest injury for the Cowboys coming out of the offseason is Deron Bland. We know that he had a fantastic season last year. I think five interceptions returned for touchdown. So that's a huge piece of their defense that they're going to be missing here. And so that's something that maybe the Browns can try and exploit a little bit on the outside there and find some space running down the field with some new pass plays.
I know that we've talked about Nick Chubb and his status, you know, a lot lately, but Jason here says, is Nick Chubb running yet? We've seen him doing all sorts of, you know, different weightlifting activities and things like that that have blown us away. But do you think it's in the realm of possibilities that he's running?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we saw video of him running around a track probably a couple months ago now. And so he is seven, 8 months out from his surgeries. And he's definitely if he isn't running, he is way behind, because straight line running should start 4 or 5 months after that surgery, if not sooner. So he's squatting, he's running, he's doing more agility stuff. Like, he's definitely making strides towards a return this season. I think, kind of like we predicted when we first started talking about this in the offseason, it's likely going to be more of an October timeframe. And we already know that he's out for the month of September. So October at the earliest, my guess is probably mid-October. But he's definitely running and doing more agility stuff at this point in his rehab.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, David. Mary Kay had brought up the point when he, you know, was put on the PUP list and all this, that a lot of people thought he might be able to go in those first four games. She kind of alluded to that maybe he was going to be out the first 7-8 games or come back after the bye week. What do you think to that comment, like where she's kind of landing? It could be 6, 7, 8 games that he's out or after the bye week, but she kind of alluded to that. I was just curious what your thoughts were on her comment about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a definitely a conservative approach, more of a, hey, we're going to preserve this for as long as we can. And I think some of that may depend on how these, you know, the month of September goes for the Browns. If we can see the Browns come out, 3-1, 4-0, or, you know, heading into the bye week, if we've got, you know, 5-6 wins and only a handful of losses, they may say, hey, let's pump the brakes on Rush and Chubb back. Let's save him for the second half of the season where we know other players are likely to have bumps and bruises and injuries and, you know, play the long game here. Because, I mean, we have a 17-game season and, you know, potentially a 4-game playoff here. And so if we're really looking to make a run, it may be best to just let him really finish out this rehab and get as strong, fast, and recovered as he can and bring him back when we really, really need him. So I think there's a lot of factors at play. Obviously, first, primarily, is going to be his health status and if he can go. But if he's at the point where he can go, but we're like, you know, we're looking pretty good here, first place in the division, 2 losses, it may be a wise decision to be like, we're going to keep you out until the after the bye week, get you another additional week of time to recover, and then bring it back after that when, you know, there's a higher risk of injury for some other players. So I don't think it's out of the question at all. And there's a lot of things that go into making that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So turning it away from injuries, I want to talk about tonight and just talk a little football with you. Your thoughts on this game. I mean, David, we have seen in years past, I mean, last year when the Lions opened with Kansas City, I think that Kansas City – and the Bengals, and I'm going to include the Ravens in this, sometimes get off to slow starts, and they have an unexpected loss, maybe week one. We saw it last year. I don't think a lot of people took the Lions in that game, but they came away with a victory, and, you know, all of the talking heads were saying, well, they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out, and they did. It was kind of a little bit of a steep climb in the first part of that season, but do you think we're going to see that with especially these two teams tonight? I think this is going to be high scoring. I think this is going to be kind of a classic matchup. Honestly, you go back a couple of years, I think it was Pat Mahomes versus Jared Goff with the Rams, and it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. I kind of anticipate it to be that way tonight, just two high-performing offenses. What are your thoughts on this game? Do you think both of them kind of come out with a punch, or do you think this is going to be a little bit more of a slower defensive battle?
I think you're right on point there with this being a air it out sort of gun show, air raid offense type sort of picture. I just think we're going to see a lot of points because for Lamar, I mean, this is kind of personal for him. Like, he cannot beat the Chiefs. They are kind of his nemesis right now, and it's like another hurdle for him to get over. So I don't think he's going to hold back. I think he's going to be ready to perform. And when you add in Derrick Henry and another weapon on the offense for him to be able to balance that attack, I think the sky's the limit. Certainly, we saw Lamar become a much better passer last season. He distributed the ball. He was looking downfield. He was making much better reads and progressions, and I don't think that's going to change now. I think he's going to continue improving as a passer and become even more lethal, you know, coming off of an MVP season where he's got Derrick Henry in the backfield to sort of share the load. I think he's really going to turn it on tonight, and I think we do see a high-scoring game that's going to be full of fireworks and excitement, and I'm very excited about this.
And see, I think personally, it's going to be just the opposite. Yeah. I think Arrowhead's going to be rocking. I think the Ravens defense was what ranked second in the NFL last year, so they can hold their own. I think they'll keep Mahomes in check. Do I think the Chiefs will win? Yes, but I see a 2017 game. Not a lot of fireworks, but I see two of these teams, because week one is so weird, right? We always talk about week one, you're kind of figuring out your opponent. And then after that, you watch film and the season begins and you kind of figure week one's kind of a crapshoot. And for that, I think the defense is clearly the Ravens defense knows what Patrick Mahomes is made of on that side of the ball and the weapons they have and trying to neutralize, obviously, the tight end position with Travis Kelce. But I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I really do. I don't think we're going to see the fireworks tonight because I think they're going to be a little rusty. Both of these offenses are going to clunk along. I don't think we're going to see a high scoring game. I think the defenses could be more of a factor in this game just because it's week one. This was a midseason game. Absolutely. Could I see it?
Yeah. Different story. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Let me ask you both this. As we talk about Derrick Henry, you know, last year, obviously he wasn't the player that we have known him to be. Now, a couple of factors for that, right? But do you think that we see the Derrick Henry that we all know, the very good Derrick Henry, probably the best, second best running back in the league outside of Christian McCaffrey when healthy? You know, are we going to see that this season? Let's not even ask for the season. Tonight, do we get back the classic Derrick Henry, or do you think it continues? We start to see the struggles and the downfall of Derrick Henry.
So I think tonight he's going to put on a show and he's gonna be like, I'm back, I'm king. You know, I was the man who like earned that title and here I am to go, but I don't know if it's going to be sustainable. Certainly he has a slight upgrade in his offensive line. I mean, not that the Ravens have the best offensive line in the league, but it's better than Tennessee's. So he's going to have a little bit better, blocking to run behind. And I think he's going to be come out to prove a point. He is, you know, in a new program and a new system. And I think he wants to show that he is still the Derrick Henry we all know. But I think long-term, it's probably going to, you know, fall back more towards center where maybe not so much as off of a season as it was last year, but it's not going to be like his best years in Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think, Dustin?
And I think it's going to be a big part of what Harbaugh's offense is about tonight, right? What is the whole idea? Is less possessions for Patrick Mahomes. It's how you win a football game. Mm-hmm. So I do think early in this game, it could be run heavy. Kill the clock, get first downs, and just keep – I mean, the best Patrick Mahomes is on the sidelines if you're the other team, is keeping him there on the sidelines. So, yeah, I think we will see Derrick Henry getting quite a few touches tonight. Could he have a 100-plus game? Sure. But, again, I think that's where we're going to get to that lower scoring game because they're just – I just don't feel like there's going to be a ton of possessions tonight. I think this is going to be a kind of a chess game with both of these coaches tonight. And the way they go about this game, and it's, you know, on television, it means a lot to both. Like you said, Lamar Jackson's, you know, kryptonite is the Chiefs. So, this is going to be an interesting game. But, hey, you know what? I'm never a Chiefs fan except week one when they're playing the Ravens. So let's go Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. All right, David, I'll get you out of here on this one. Who's winning tonight? Give me your pick.
I am going – I think 2 years in a row now, the defending champs lose the opener. And I'm going to go Ravens here. I think Ravens are going to pull it off 38-35.
Wow, that's high score. Wow, that's high score.
Listen, hey, this is the first time we have had an MVP quarterback matchup under the age of 30. I mean, these guys are not slouches. Offense is coming tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll be back
here. I don't know.
We'll be back here to week two to talk about it.
All right. We'll give our score predictions here in just a moment. David, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. I love you. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns. That's my fiance. She's smoking hot.
And on that note, Dustin, why don't you tell our listeners about City Barbecue?
Hey, guys, if you don't have City Barbecue in your house, go out and get it tonight or any night of the week. City Barbecue with 7 Northeast Ohio locations. That's right. 7 Northeast Ohio locations with the best barbecue to go get that for your family. They got party packs. If you want to cater for your company, they can do that for you as well. But check them out. That's City Barbecue all over Northeast Ohio. Also, in other parts of Ohio, they actually started in Columbus, Ohio, just down the road a couple hours. But, yes, go check out City Barbecue. Get it at 7 of those locations here in the area. Great barbecue wherever you go.
Yeah, definitely. While you're at it, why don't you check out Five Iron Golf? I don't know if you're just starting to get into golf or you're a seasoned veteran, but Five Iron Golf, they make golf for everyone. They have a dynamic, entertaining, and inclusive way to experience golf. And by the way, if it's just too hot in Cleveland or wherever you're at, or it's raining or whatever, you can head on over to their golf simulators. They've got it all. So you can golf all sorts of different courses. They've got food, they've got drinks, they've got it all. It's all about inclusivity, over at Five Iron Golf. So please be sure to check them out. Let's get into, yes, please go ahead.
And code Brownie40, 40% off. Brownie40. Every time you go into that location for hourly rentals, use our code Brownie40. It's a smoking hot deal.
Oh, dear God. There we go. Nice pun. That was funny. All right, let's get into our key matchups in this game, and we'll get to our keys to a victory shortly after. But what matchups are you most looking forward to in this game against the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but Myles Garrett's going up against a rookie on the other side of the
ball.
That's
true. That's correct.
So that doesn't bode well for him. So it'll be interesting to see how he does against that rookie. I don't wish that on anybody. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm worried about that. So that's a matchup from a defensive side of the ball to see. I think this is a game where Myles Garrett can get two sacks at least because of that. Because of who he's going up against, the crowd noise, all those things, right? Beating off them. And then Jerry Jeudy. I want to see what Jerry Jeudy could possibly do in this game as a Brown and see how he can develop into that player that we think he can. And third, Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson looks cool, calm, and collective back there and is ready to go, this football team can go a long ways this year, the Cleveland Browns, because like I told people, I just need 80 or 90% of what he was in Houston. And this is a team that, and what's interesting, Allie, is a lot of talking heads just in the last week have started to pick the Browns. They're like, if Deshaun's anything close to what he used to be, why not the Browns, right? I mean, people were saying that now. Why not the Browns? They've got this defense. Defenses travel in January, right? So it's like they have a point, but they're just now starting to talk about it, like, which is good because I didn't want any of that offseason, you know, hoopla that we don't like to give the attention. But yeah, Deshaun Watson, I just want to see that he's managing the offense. And like I said, Jerry Jeudy. And, you know, fourth, I'll put the offensive line, the thing that scares the hell out of you. How does that mend and mesh together for week one with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence coming off the ends?
Yeah, I think for me, biggest one that I'm looking forward to is our receivers against their secondary. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right, with Jerry Jeudy. I'm curious about that. But for the first time in a while, I feel like we do have depth and a variety of skill at the receiver position to be able to take advantage and really scheme against the Dallas Cowboys secondary without Deron Bland. You know, we know what kind of player he is, especially last season. He was incredible. To go into this game without him makes me feel a little bit more optimistic. You've got Trevon Diggs. We know who he is. Also, you know, you're going to be going up against Jordan Lewis. So I think that we're really going to be able to target Jordan Lewis in a lot of ways rather than throw at Trevon Diggs. I mean, that's kind of a given. So I look to see Kevin Stefanski, this offense, really targeting everybody outside of Trevon Diggs in terms of their secondary. I'm really looking forward to that. Additionally, our offensive line, I mean, you mentioned it. I'm just going to, you know, kind of piggyback off of that a little bit. We've got question marks as fans, right? Who are your starting tackles? We'll find out on Sunday, apparently. But what we do know is the interior of this offensive line is strong. They are veterans, they are leaders, and we know who they are. Now, there are some names, obviously, that do scare me. Micah Parsons scares the living daylights out of me. We know who DeMarcus Lawrence is. Mazi Smith is taking a step up, you know, in the Dallas Cowboys defense. You know, they've got some really good pass rushers. They've got a good defense. This is not something, you know, that the Browns can overlook because they can absolutely wreck a game. But with the secondary being a little bit depleted for the Cowboys, their defensive line against our offensive line, even though there are question marks at the tackle position, I'm still going to take the Brown side of this almost all day, just because of the factors that they have on the defense. Really looking forward to that. Also, you know, just looking forward to the Browns defensive line and their ability to stop the run. This is a really bad rushing attack from the Cleveland Browns, from the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, they have Ezekiel Elliott, and I anticipate him to probably carry the workload here. Although many talking heads have come out to say that Rico Dowdle will be the guy getting the most carries. But you've got Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle, Dalvin Cook, and Deuce Vaughn all on the roster. But I don't foresee this to be a good rushing football team, especially week one, but even more so throughout the season. I think that they absolutely need help if they want to have a shot at a deep playoff run. I don't like it. I don't love it. But thank God I'm not a Cowboys fan, because we don't have to care about it other than this week. But I think that the interior of our defensive line and their ability to, and our linebackers, of course, to be able to stop the run and really, really suffocate that, one, to help with time of possession, but two, to make Dak and this Dallas Cowboys offense throw the football down the field and work against our secondary. And again, I'm going to take that matchup all day, every day, given our pass rush. So I think that when we look at this game and we look at kind of the key matchups here, I think that the Browns are favored, Dustin, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, like I said, a couple other things that come to mind is we have to marginalize CeeDee Lamb, right, and keep him in check on Sunday. And the other thing that I'm curious from both sides of the ball, because this is a new wrinkle, and we'll see it tonight on Thursday Night Football, is the new kickoff return. How do teams kind of gauge themselves to not have a guy break away and run one all the way back for a touchdown, right? Because of where the new kickoff is and stuff. So
yeah,
a good friend of the program, Eric Metcalf, goes, man, if I lived in football today, I'd be loving this. Like, this would be my heyday with this kind of thing. So I'm looking for that on Sunday, too, and see how teams adjust both sides of the ball with this new kickoff. Because literally one miss, and that could be the difference in a football game this year with the new kickoff rule. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like as well. And just, you know, you're right. You know, I was really surprised that Ezekiel went back to the Cowboys. I was really surprised by that move just because, I don't know, I kind of felt like after going to New England, like if he didn't make it there, he was kind of done with his career. That was just kind of my gut, right? Like I just, what is he, 31, 32? I mean, I know that's not old, but in football years, you know, that running back position, that's getting up there, right? But I'm surprised they brought him back, but he probably came on a very friendly deal, right? So welcome back to the family. And so I think you see more of that now, Allie, than we did probably 5, 10, 15 years ago. Players actually coming back to an organization that they've left. In the past, that wasn't really a thing, but it seems like more and more guys are making a return to a team. So, yeah, at the end of the day, man, just give Deshaun Watson time. Because I think if you give him time, Jerry Jeudy will be open. Tillman, David Njoku, the guys that need to be open, you know, Coop. You know, like those guys will be open. And I do think we're going to see, you know, to David's point with the game tonight, I think the Browns are going to let it rip on Sunday. I think we're going to see a lot of aerial, if Deshaun's given time, I think we're going to see a lot of passing in this game from the Cleveland Browns, especially with Nick Chubb out and not being such a person that we would rely on in the past. I don't know. What do you think, Allie? I just think this could be more of a pass happy game.
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think you have to also look at the first couple of weeks in the regular season. Like, you know, they are still the preseason in some ways. You're going to see a lot of offenses that are looking to air things out, see what they have, see what they don't. Just because the preseason is so much different, so much more different than it used to be. So I think that, you know, you're still going to be seeing teams over the next 3-4 weeks, even just ironing some things out. So they may be a little bit more prone to throw the ball or run or do something that's maybe not quite to their identity yet. You know, this is kind of the time to see what they have available to them. So yes, I do think that that will be the case. Also want to take this time real quick before we turn it over to Keys to a Victory to talk about our other new sponsors. And I want to start with Lady Caroline. Every cruise is a celebration. So whether you are looking to cruise for lunch, brunch, dinner, holidays, events, what have you, every cruise is a celebration. So be sure to choose the one that meets your needs. So she is the beautiful lady, a Lady Caroline. She's a four-deck 120-foot long ship, over 15,000 square feet for passengers to enjoy. So you can be sure to check them out. I mean, that sounds pretty cool to me, Dustin, being able to kind of just sail through and enjoy a nice afternoon on the beautiful Lady Caroline.
I got to tell you, my friend came from Idaho. That was one of the treats that we went out and cruised the lake. Had dinner.
I mean, look at this view. Look at that. I mean, that's not bad.
And let me just tell you, you got to go out on the lake. And by the way, you wonder what it's like. It literally makes a huge figure eight in Lake Erie. So you just go this way and that way. So it takes you to the east side towards Lakewood, and you can kind of check out the entire city. It was dinner. They had a DJ on board. So it was really fun. It was, and actually they put you at a table, kind of like when we went on the cruise, right? You get to meet new people. Mm-hmm. It was fun. All the people were great at our table, made new friends. But you want to take a long lunch, kind of just reset your brain, go there.
Or if you need something else to do, I've got another option for you. Head over to Greater Cleveland Aquarium. If you're ready to dive into an aquatic adventure, add a splash of wonder to any day at Greater Cleveland Aquarium. They've got it all. I mean, you know, you can see here in this photo, you can take your kids, nice afternoon, get on out there. Look at that. Happy families all around. But they've got piranhas, stingrays, octopus, whatever you need, they've got it. Jellyfish, by the way, story about jellyfish, I've got one for you. But be sure to check them out at Greater Cleveland Aquarium. And very excited to partner with them as our newest sponsor. So quick story, my bachelorette party was just this past weekend, Labor Day weekend. And we went to Destin, which is just about an hour away from where I live. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Crab Island. It's really cool. It's a very shallow area. The water is crystal clear and you can dock your boat or, you know, put an anchor down, get out, swim, whatever. We were having a great time eating, drinking. They've got boats that come around. Like they've got a Chick-fil-A boat that comes up, you know, it's really cool.
Are you serious?
Chick-fil-A boat. They had barbecue. They had pizza. It's really cool. Really, really cool. But the day that we went, it was jam packed with jellyfish everywhere. So it was honestly like just getting out of the way every 2 seconds of jellyfish here, jellyfish there. Thankfully, nobody got stung, but I did witness a man pick up a jellyfish and just throw it like a football. So you can go see those at Greater Cleveland Aquarium. You can go see those. Don't touch them.
Why did he throw the jellyfish?
I don't know. There's a lot of alcohol going on at Crab Island.
Hey, I will tell you this, though. Here's the cool thing about the aquarium, Allie. It's the stingrays. You can actually put your hands in and touch the stingrays in the stingray tank there. And then what's really cool is you go around the back of the place is that thing that you were looking at. That is the shark tunnel. So the sharks are really like right over your head, right around you. Super cool. Like these sharks are like this close to you. So it's kind of cool. That's about the safest way you can look at a shark. Right. So it was pretty cool with that shark tunnel, but man, that was the coolest part. And the biggest part of their exhibit is the shark tunnel, which I thought was pretty awesome. And we're giving away tickets, guys. Look for that giveaway. We have a 4-pack out there that'll be given away, I think, this Friday. So look for a family 4-pack to take you and your children, your grandchildren. It's a great day away to just go and check out a couple hours there. I tell you what I found out most surprising about this, the Greater Cleveland Aquarium, was the amount of species that are in there that are not native to this area, right? Because my first thought was, oh, it's just going to be fish that are in Great Lakes and rivers here, right? Native to aquarium type things. They have stuff from all over the world in their alley, which I thought was super cool. Different species from all over the world. So you actually get to go through and see things from all over the world, which I thought was super cool. So
yeah, really cool. All right, let's get into our keys to a victory. Dustin, how do the Cleveland Browns come away with a victory on Sunday?
The Cleveland Browns come away with a victory, winning the turnover battle, first and foremost.
All right, hang on. Timeout. Outside of winning the turnover battle, winning, you know, the clock and dominating the line of scrimmage, how do the Cleveland Browns come away with a win? Because we can say that every single week. That's always a recipe. What else can the Browns do to come away with a win?
Recipe to victory. 2 sacks by Myles Garrett is also going to be a key to victory. And also, in my opinion, Deshaun Watson passing for more than 250 yards in this football game. Those are keys to victory for me. And also, the offensive line stays upright and gives him time. Those are the three things that I think are the key. Two sacks by Myles Garrett. Line stays up, keeps Deshaun Watson upright. And yeah, those are my keys to a victory right there.
Yeah, I think we can lay the blueprint for any NFL win, and that's always going to be win the turnover battle, win the clock, and don't get injured, right? Those are always going to be the three things to remaining successful and coming away with a win every single Sunday. But I think when we really try to pinpoint what the Browns can do to be victorious in this, one, it is on the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned it, Myles Garrett, two sacks. This pass rush has to be electric. It has to be explosive and set the tone early. Because what happens when you've got a good pass rush, it allows your corners to play good defense and vice versa. If they're not establishing a good pass rush right away and being explosive, and there is time in the pocket for Dak Prescott to get the ball out, you're hoping that these corners playing lockdown defense to allow your pass rush to get home. So it's really a complementary thing. So in my opinion, pass rush has to kind of set the tone early and often, not allowing any of these running backs to get going. We mentioned it. Look, I don't think that this Dallas Cowboys running attack is very good, and I don't look at that as a big threat, but it still can be, right? We've known this team, this Browns defense, to allow rush yards in a lot of them, especially against teams that can't run the football. So we can't allow that, because I want to see Dak Prescott throw the football. I want him to throw to CeeDee Lamb, because I trust Denzel Ward, MJ Emerson, guys like that, to be able to get the job done. I'm cool with that. And also, when you look at their other, offensive weapons, they've got Jake Ferguson at tight end. Outside of that, nothing at all. So covering the seam, I think, is going to be a big thing. But outside of CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, not a lot at receiver. I want Dak Prescott to have to throw the ball. I think that if he is, throwing it a ton on Sunday, the Browns are going to come away with a win, because one, I don't trust him. And two, I will take our defensive matchup against their receiver matchup all day, every day. I think that that's a recipe for a win. Offensive side of the ball. Deshaun Watson has to distribute the football. He's got to play a clean game. I don't think that he needs to do anything spectacular. I think when you take their defensive matchup against our offensive weapons, again, I'm going to take that matchup all day, assuming they are playing good football, right? But I think when you look at Amari Cooper, you look at Cedric Tillman, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, just getting these guys going, distributing the football and allowing Deshaun Watson to get the football out, I like that. I don't want to have to rely on Jerome Ford to be the savior for this football game. Now, I think he's a good running back, but I don't want to have to depend on him. We've got to make sure that Deshaun Watson can get the football out cleanly. He doesn't have to be a superhero, just be an average quarterback and distribute the football. And I think the Browns come away with a win he's able to accomplish that.
The only thing I would add to that is start fast. If the Browns can get an early lead, 14 points, something like that, guess what? Your defense can take more chances, right?
Yeah.
And obviously that makes it a long afternoon for Dak Prescott. So, yeah, I think the Browns can get off to a fast start, get a good lead. That could be a very big key to this victory of this football game.
Yep. Most definitely. And we've got to make some picks here in just a moment. We're back at it every single week, making our picks. And then at the end of the season, we tally them all up. So, we're going to get to that just in a moment. Dustin, why don't you tell our listeners about True Fan Travel?
Guys, True Fan Travel, still a few tickets left. If you want to go to Vegas at the end of the month, go to truefantravel.com. If you've already got your tickets, you can do the tailgate. You can do all those things. But guys, if that's not going to work out for you, guess what? New Orleans. Who doesn't like New Orleans? The package includes hotel, welcome party, Q&A with Browns legend Kevin Mack, private charter flight. That's right. That's an add-on if you want to do that. A boat party. Allie, we were talking about a boat party. They're going to have that for all those Browns fans. All-inclusive tailgate. Ticket to the game, by the way. Tickets included. The great thing about True Fan Travel is they'll include everything, or they'll do it a la carte for you. TrueFanTravel.com. Go get your tickets today.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Also, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Hartville Marketplace and Flea Market. Because if you haven't been, you need to get down there. On the inside, over 3 acres of indoor shopping, over 50 unique shops, fully heated and fully air conditioned. And you can head outside to their outdoor flea market, which has over 12 acres of outdoor vendor space. They have over 1,000 vendors, and they're open Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays year-round. Something for all ages. They've got food. They've got produce. They've got antiques, treasures, anything and everything you can imagine they've got going on down at Hartville Marketplace and Flea Market. All right, Dustin, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's do it. Let's make some picks, starting with tonight. Baltimore Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. Who you got?
Chiefs.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one. Packers at Eagles.
Packers.
Well, it's in Brazil, so it's not technically at Eagles, but
I'm picking the Packers.
I am going to take, the Eagles, I think. But I think it's going to be a good game. Next up, Panthers at Saints.
Saints,
yeah. Vikings at Giants.
Giants.
You gonna go Giants?
Who's throwing the ball in Minnesota?
Yeah, but who's catching the ball in New York? Like, it is a.
It's at New York, first home game. They got a little.
I agree with you. No, you know what? I'm going to go Vikings. I'll give you the Giants here. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Patriots at Bengals.
Bengals, unfortunately.
Bengals, yep. Steelers at Falcons.
I'm going to go the Falcons here.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Give me the Falcons. Texans at Colts.
Texans are good. On the road in the dome, though. Who's the starting quarterback? Who's going to be the starting?
It's going to be Anthony Richardson.
And Anthony Richardson is Joe Flacco the backup, right? Okay. You know what? Upset of the week. And I don't know if it's a big upset, but I'm going to go with the Colts at home. And the only reason I'm going with the Colts, there's been a lot of fluff made of the Texans and how great they are, and like bulletin board that they're the great team and the up and coming. And we all know what that does for teams. They get a little full of themselves, and the Colts are going to be like, not so fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go with the Texans here. Moving on to the Cardinals at Bills.
Bills.
Yeah. Titans at Bears.
Bears.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Bears here, too. I don't love it. I don't like this. I don't like the matchup, but I'm gonna go with the Bears. Jags at Dolphins.
Dolphins,
yeah. Broncos at Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Yeah, give me Seattle. Raiders at Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we've got the Dallas Cowboys at your Cleveland Browns. What do you got?
Easy, Browns.
Give me the Browns. Give me your score prediction in that game.
Yes. 21-17 is your final.
21-17. I think it's a little bit more high scoring than that. Give me the Browns 28. Give me the Cowboys 28-17. Give me 28-17 Browns.
Okay.
All right. Next up, Commanders at Bucks.
Bucks.
Yeah, give me the Buccaneers. Rams at Lions. Sunday night.
This could be a good game. I think the Lions and that dome being loud, I think the Lions have the edge here.
So here's the one that gets me. I think the Rams are going to be decent this year. I think Cooper Kupp returns. Yeah, for sure. But I think that they're going to be like better than a lot of people are expecting. I think Cooper Kupp returns to Cooper Kupp. I think Puka Nacua takes a step down because of that. And I really like Kyren Williams. I like what they've got going in LA, but I'm still taking the Lions. It's at home. Matt Stafford returns to Detroit. Yeah, give me the Lions all day on that one. And to wrap up Monday night, the Jets at 49ers.
I think the Jets can be a playoff team. I think they can win their division.
I do. I think so.
Do the 49ers have that Super Bowl hangover? Does Aaron Rodgers say, I'm still Aaron Rodgers? You know what? Give me the Jets upset.
Give me the Jets. Give me the Jets. I agree with you. I'm taking the Jets. I think that the 49ers do have a little bit of a hangover. They had some tension this offseason with the whole Brandon Ayuk situation. It's kind of weird. Christian McCaffrey coming off of a little bit of an injury. I don't think they are going to be – now, if this game was like mid to late season, give me the Niners. But week one, Aaron Rodgers has something to prove. Yeah. I think that Jets offense is going to be pretty darn good. I like Breece Hall. Give me the Jets here. I agree with you. I like that. All right, couple other things here before we wrap up. Dustin, why did you tell our listeners about Western Reserve Distillers?
Guys, Western Reserve Distillers, get into their place right there in Lakewood, Ohio. Check out the Here We Go Brownies Whiskey, 20-year, 10-year, and all those wonderful other flavors. Go in there and check it out. We have the preseason launch of the limited edition of Here We Go Brownies Whiskey. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Allie's obviously, you've had it as well. It's amazing stuff. Go in there and check it out. But go there. Their food is really good, by the way. And all season, every Wednesday night, even if we're not there, it is wine, whiskey, and wings Wednesdays. That's right.
There you go.
Wine, whiskey, Wednesdays, 50-cent wings, half-off bottles of wine, and $12 flights of Here We Go Brownies Whiskey. You get our three whiskeys plus an extra one for $12. That's a hell of a deal. So go in there and check them out.
That is a great hell of a deal.
Right over there in Lakewood. Great place just west of Cleveland.
And what's up, Logan? We appreciate you checking out the show. We're a big fan of you. Thanks for taking the time for us. Dustin, before we wrap up, we've got one last sponsor to talk about, and that is Teresa's Pizza. And I don't know about you, but when I think about football Sundays, yes, I think beer, I think wings, I think whiskey from Western Reserve Distillers, but I also think pizza. That is one of my favorite game day foods. And over there at Teresa's Pizza, they do it right. You're going to get the same quality every single time that you go there. It's great right there in the restaurant. You take it home. Really good the next day. So be sure to check them out also at Teresa's Pizza.
And that's in University Heights and Mayfield Heights, those two locations, University Heights and Mayfield Heights. And if you use the code BARK, B-A-R-K online, you get a discount off your pizza. B-A-R-K, BARK, all caps. And you get a discount on online orders only. But hey, who doesn't like saving some money on their pizza every time they order it?
I love saving money. It's one of my favorite things. Yeah. I love a good bargain. I love a good deal. Dustin, any closing thoughts as we wrap up on a beautiful Thursday night? We've got some football to go watch.
Yeah, I got to go watch the Ratbirds. And never mind, I almost said what I wanted to say about the other team. I won't do it. But yes, we're going to go watch some football. It's back Thursday night under the lights in Kansas City. I've been there. It's a tough place to win. It's going to be a great football game to watch. And then this seems like this has been the longest offseason, Allie, but it is football. The Cleveland Browns are back. It's week one, and I'm just excited for all the football that's going to be coming through this. And by the way, college football, by the way, we didn't even get into this, but my Boise State Broncos have a huge test this weekend at Oregon, week two matchup. So looking forward to college football this weekend, as well as all the NFL football.
I think that could be an interesting one. Oregon's a little sleepy right now. I think you could.
I don't know, Allie. I don't know if you saw that Ginty had six touchdowns in that game. SportsCenter said it looked like he was out there playing a video game. 264 yards, six touchdowns. They pulled him, and the next guy got two more touchdowns. Eight rushing touchdowns in the Boise State's
last game. That's crazy.
You know, hey, Browns, he's going to be ready for the draft next year. Just saying. There's a guy you can go get right there.
Good to know. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. We appreciate it. We're excited to go watch some football, but be sure to stay safe, stay healthy. And as always, Browns fans, go Browns.
Go Browns.